League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
All right, your chance to ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. We do it every Monday at 2 o'clock. We can just ignore you. 713-780-ESPN. We can Hannah McNair to Deshaun Watson you. 713-780-3776. What are your questions for the Killer Bees? Someone texting in saying, Trey Turner, $300 million for 11 years with the Phillies. What do you think?
I think they overpaid. I think that that's a lot of money and a lot of years. That's the anti-Astros baseball approach to contracts. That's the old school GM, Dave Dombrowski. Is that right?
Yeah.
Going way old school on a long-term big money deal.
It's what the Phillies do. They give you huge money for a lot of years, try to lower the AAV. They signed Harper to a 13-year deal. They signed Trey Turner to an 11-year deal. They'll be paying those dudes in their late 30s, Trey Turner's case, into the age 40.
The Phillies just said, man. I see you, Justin Verlander. Hold my beer.
They're willing to sell their lives for the short term. That's what they're doing. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 7154. Where will Baker Mayfield go? Should the Texans sign him? Panthers putting him on waivers today.
I believe that San Francisco 49ers are going to kick the tires on Baker Mayfield. I'm not saying they're going to sign him, nor should they. But I'm saying at this point in a season, a Super Bowl caliber team, every single other place that went out at the deadline to make a move, they're going to talk to Christian McCaffrey. They're going to find out everything the intel they need on Baker Mayfield. Because if there's one team right now that might have had their entire Super Bowl dreams, hopes, and aspirations blown up by one broken foot with the loss to Jimmy Garoppolo, the Niners should at least check out Baker Mayfield.
I didn't even think about the fact that McCaffrey had played with him. There's no way they're going to sign Mayfield.
Oh, yeah,
McCaffrey,
that's
right, was struggling with Mayfield at quarterback early. He's going to tell them to run the other way.
Well, at least they're going to do the intel on it. But I think that the Texans should not kick the tires on Baker Mayfield. I mean, if they want to, fine. Anything's an upgrade over who they have. Ugh. But do you really want to upgrade right now? Because of the fact, what, you think you're going to find a guy that you might want to re-sign? God help us all, no. So that's why I don't want the Texans, because I don't want them to come in here and play well and have people start thinking, well, this is why you don't need a quarterback in the draft. Stop all that nonsense right now. Let the Niners kick the tires on them. Maybe the Ravens. But other than that, because the Ravens have seen him in the division, maybe they think in case they need backup for Lamar, who got hurt too yesterday. But it's not the Texans.
No, not the Texans. Like, this is the last year of his deal. Like, why would you bring in a quarterback to play the final five games and then he's a free agent? Like, you're doing favors for Baker Mayfield. What is interesting about, like, the Baker Mayfield situation, not a free agent, he's on waivers, so any team can claim Baker Mayfield. So, like, on one front, if I'm an NFL organization, I don't want to touch Baker Mayfield. He never wins. I think he's cancerous to an organization, to a franchise. He's not very good at the quarterback position. On the other, like, out of the other side of my mouth, the secondary caveat here, if you're an NFC team and you think you have the chance to go deep in the playoffs, maybe you block San Francisco from being able to claim Baker Mayfield. Teams with worse records in the NFC, like the Giants, they have Daniel Jones, but he could be your backup. You're blocking him from going to San Francisco. Washington, maybe they think Baker's better than Wentz. You're blocking him from going to San Francisco. Seattle, you're blocking him from going to San Francisco. I wonder if there's a team who claims Baker Mayfield today to block San Francisco from having the option. On top of that, though, if I'm San Francisco, like, I have a decent thing going, I'm not bringing in Baker Mayfield that could blow it all up.
He could blow it all up, but he could also save your season, Jeremy, because right now you're putting it all in the basket of a rookie.
Yeah.
And as cocky and as confident as he looked last week, that's last week. Talk about it when everything's on the line, when it's win or go home, and see a kid that's going to see all kinds of complex defenses and audibles and things coming at him just to see how much he can understand, know, and take. I think at least from Baker's perspective, he's seen most everything from an NFL perspective. And if Kyle Shanahan is a quarterback whisperer that believes, I can get anybody to play my system the right way. I can get Baker to do the things that Jimmy G was doing. Yeah. And I think that that's why you're right. You might see teams that have to play defensive because they know without it, the Niners, I don't think, are Super Bowl favorites to get there. With him, if he can just keep doing what Jimmy G did, they have a legit shot.
Yeah, part of me, I wouldn't touch Baker Mayfield. The other part of me, if I'm San Francisco, he's more talented than Brock Purdy. And then if I'm another NFC team, I think about blocking San Francisco. 713-780-3776. Mailbag Monday. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 4488. Is it possible for the Killer Bees to have a segment a couple times a week on the number one ranked men's college basketball team? We talk a lot about the Houston Cougars and the fact that they are the number one ranked college basketball team in the country. They're 8-0. They take on North Florida tomorrow, which can't wait to see that. And then they take on Alabama on Saturday in the rematch that everybody's been waiting for. We love the Houston Cougars. So we talk a lot about the local college basketball team that's ranked number one in the country.
We do. Look, I think the one thing that I talk about more than anything else, too, is how disappointing it is that this isn't a college basketball town, per se. And that I think we should be talking more than that about them. But just like we don't, even from a basketball perspective, we don't talk about the Rockets hardly at all. At least we're talking about the Cougs. But I think that's got to be driven by you guys. If you guys want to talk about the Cougs, then hit us up on text, Twitch, call. We'll talk about them we love talking about them.
Yep. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line on our Mailbag Monday. Jimmy, you're in the Hive. What's your question for the Killer Bees?
Yeah, I think Joe read my mind because that's what I wanted to talk about, the Rockets. And my question for y'all is it not time for them to finally trade Eric Gordon?
Mm-hmm. It was already past time, but it should be time again. And now that he's taken off the not-so-freshman 15, I think he's more attractive to teams. And look, they're resting him on the second nights of back-to-backs and things, not for their benefit. They're definitely doing that to try and make sure he doesn't get hurt so he can help another team. You had a chance to trade him last year. You should have taken the Phoenix deal and given up a first round and getting the first round from Phoenix, no matter where it fell.
Yeah,
you'd have been just fine.
If Stone rejected that, which has been reported, that's a loss.
Been reported in several different sources have said he thought he could get more, and at the end of the day, he got nothing. So time's running out. This team doesn't need him. Trade him now. Trade him before the deadline. This is the year he goes. Just make sure that you get something back for him if you can. Because what you passed on, if that's true, was a mistake.
Yeah. I think they should be shortening this rotation. Like, they should be trading Eric Gordon right now to the highest bidder. Not because we dislike Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon's been a good Rocket. He's had a good career here. I hope he has good success wherever he goes. But he's 34 years old on a team that is very, very young. I feel like Garrison Matthews shouldn't be playing.
Completely agree.
Like, there's some young players in this rotation that I would love to see getting 20, 25 minutes a game. Tari Eason being one of those guys. There's no reason he shouldn't be playing 20, 25 minutes a game. Maybe even the case with Kevin Martin Jr. Now, he's closer to 25 minutes, but Garrison Matthews shouldn't be on the floor in this rotation. Eric Gordon shouldn't be on the floor in this rotation. I don't want to see Jayshon Tate in this rotation.
That's where I was going next, Jeremy. There was no need to give an extension to Jayshon Tate. Mm-mm. Jayshon Tate, as I said to you a year ago when we were in season, he's a guy to be the perfect team for a veteran team that was a playoff team to add because he's the perfect role player. He's the perfect kind of Swiss Army knife. But with this team, with how young they are and what they're still trying to do, and because he's older and people don't realize that, it's not a fit. You shouldn't have extended him. If you could find a home for him right now, they should do it.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. Katie says, speaking of former Astros, Correa will sign with what team and will be anywhere near the 11 years, $300 million that Trey the Tooth got from Philadelphia?
I think Correa is going to, I think a lot depends on Xander Bogaerts. I think if Xander Bogaerts and the Red Sox can find a way to kind of get back together. Otherwise, I'd say Boston's going to look at Correa because they need to make a splash for their fan base as much as they need a shortstop. I think that the Twins have said to be hot and heavy and they really believe in him and they want to bring him back long. I don't think Minneapolis is the right environment for the Correa family long term.
Yeah.
I think he's hoping the Dodgers, now that they lost Trey Turner, are going to look his way. I could see the Dodgers making a hard play for Carlos Correa.
I think Boston's actually out of the picture. Alex Cora loves Carlos Correa, but Shane Bloom's the general manager in Boston, and he's James Click. Like, he might be James Click on steroids, actually, where he's all about the value, all about the dollar, maximizing the production for the dollar, has been anti-giving up contracts,
but who does ownership listen to? If it's a dusty situation, if ownership listens to Correa more than the GM, he's got a chance.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're bringing in Chame to do all this, and like what they've done in the past couple of years too, show that they're giving all the belief for Chame, and like they're owned by the Fenway Sports Group. Like, I think John Henry's the head of all of that, but he pretty much takes a back seat. So I don't think that Boston's actually going to be in the market for big contracts. I thought Philadelphia was an option, but obviously they just signed Trey Turner. I still think the Cubs can be in play. I like the one with the Dodgers.
I think the Dodgers would be, now with Turner leaving makes the most sense.
I don't want Correa going to L.A., but I do think it's on the table.
And Bellinger's gone. So yeah. Now there's one less attitude to deal with in the locker room.
Would the Dodger fans be willing to accept Carlos Correa in Houston? Or in L.A.? Would they be willing?
They took Marwin. They took Cole. They took... You know, and I understand Cole's not as a big of a deal, but I think the Dodgers would have admit that they could replace Trey Turner and keep winning.
Yeah, I think that's on the table. I think it is on the table for Carlos Correa to be a Dodgers. In terms of like the contract, I don't really see anybody giving 311 years. You know what? I'm going to go with Minnesota. I'm going with Minnesota as the team that gives Carlos Correa, or that's his next team. I know it's his current team, but his next team. I think Carlos Correa signs with the Minnesota Twins this offseason and stays with the Minnesota Twins. And there's been reports that the Twins have given him like 3 or 4 different offers. So I think the Twins are desperate to keep Carlos Correa in the Twin City. All right, Houston Texans are terrible. They don't have a quarterback. You know what they say, when you have 2 backup quarterbacks, you don't have 1 starter. That's where the Texans are at right now. Everybody thinks the Houston Texans are going to be taking a quarterback with the first pick on April 27th. I'm starting to reconsider the idea of waiting on the quarterback. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Okay, I love the quarterbacks that are in this draft. Bryce Young intrigues me the absolute most. I would be excited for C.J. Stroud. I'm intrigued by Will Levis. I really do. I think the quarterbacks in this upcoming draft, when the Texans are going to be the number one pick April 27th, they intrigue me. I could get excited for these quarterbacks. But I have to be honest with you, Blankers and Hive, I am reconsidering the idea of waiting on a quarterback. I know it is hard to watch Davis Mills. I know it is hard to watch Kyle Allen. We're literally asking ourselves the question, should the Texans bring in Baker Mayfield? Think about that for a second. That's where you are right now as an NFL organization, that you're talking about Baker Mayfield and claiming Baker Mayfield. So I understand that where you're at with the quarterback position is dreadful. It's pathetic.
It is.
It leads to depression. I understand all of that. But I am reconsidering the idea of waiting on quarterback until the following year's draft. I am okay waiting for a quarterback in 2024. Caleb Williams makes it so enticing for a variety of reasons. Even if you think Bryce Young is equal to Caleb Williams, which I don't think Caleb Williams is a better NFL draft prospect than Bryce Young, being able to wait a year to select that quarterback puts yourself in a better position organizationally going forward as well. A lot of people right now think if you bring in Bryce Young, you're setting him up for failure because he's behind a bad offensive line, which I don't necessarily agree with that take, because he doesn't have great receivers. Texans don't. Brandon Cook's probably not going to be here. Nico Collins, I think, can be a solid number 2. Mechie's going to be basically a rookie. Damian Pierce, your tailback, you need help there as well. This offense lacks skill. This offense lacks talent, and bringing in a quarterback with an offense that lacks talent and an offensive line that some people are questioning is setting that quarterback up for a very difficult challenge. I won't say failure because I think Bryce Young could be all right, but a very difficult challenge. If you wait a year, look, I think that Caleb Williams is better than Bryce Young, but even if you think Bryce Young is equal to Caleb Williams, and I like Bryce Young. This is nothing against Bryce Young. You are putting the quarterback in a better position to have success right out of the gates if you wait a year. You have two first-round draft picks right now, and this is before you even entertain the conversation of maybe you trade down, maybe you trade for future picks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you just draft whoever with your two picks, maybe you go defensive player with the first pick, maybe you trade down, maybe you draft a stud receiver to get in the fold for that quarterback in the future. If you wait a year for Caleb Williams, he will be in a better spot to come in and have success from day one than if you go Bryce Young, first overall pick in this draft.
I don't like it because there's variables that you have to determine about. I mean, you would assume without having a quarterback, because I don't think either guy will be back for the Houston Texans. I'm sure Kyle Allen would love to be back. He's shown you enough that he shouldn't be. I think from a Davis Mills perspective, what you did to him and how it played out for him, his camp is not going to want to be back because they expect that some other team can give him a fresh chance to compete for a starting job and play in this league, to where I believe that he feels like he's best suited to play elsewhere because he got benched and because of how it all played out. So you need another quarterback. I just worry about the fact that you are in position A right now to have, and it's one pick in one round of the draft, and it's the most important position on the field, and you don't have a replacement for him per se for that in that position for next season.
Right.
And to get Caleb Williams, probably the chances are and the percentage are pretty good that you're going to be in the same position a year from now, but you don't know. And if
you do have the assets, which would be greater than any other team's assets, and that doesn't even include potentially trading down this year and getting additional assets in 2024.
And those are all hypotheticals, right? At this point, that we can
no, they're not hypothetical. I mean, trading down
trading
is hypothetical.
Downs, right. Trading
what,
downs
what,
and what
you know
you
you're
going to
get is hypothetical, but you know that you have your pick and the Browns pick at least next year,
right? But I also think that just like you were saying, from it's 1 year's time, those picks are still hyper important, and they're going to fill roles for you that you got to have. You've got to have better football players, as we've said across the board on this roster, and whether it happens this year or next year, I think it's tough to think about giving up extra picks instead of getting more extra picks. And we're talking about the most important position on the field. That's why I thought you started out early by saying you thought that Bryce Young was better than Caleb Williams.
No.
Look, I think from just an athleticism standpoint alone, to me, there's no doubt that Caleb Williams is better.
So if you know that Caleb Williams is better, why don't you go all in on trying to bring Caleb Williams? And even like if they're equal, the situation is better a year down the road than it would be coming up in this NFL draft.
As much as I think Caleb Williams physically is better than Bryce Young, I think that that the intangible part, the mental aspect of the game, and the whole pocket presence, I think Bryce Young is better than Caleb Williams.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
I think decision-making and like being able to like take the moment and grab the bull by the horns. I think they're both elite, actually. I think Caleb Williams does everything athletically that you'd ever want a quarterback to do.
Uh-huh.
But I think that maybe it's not that big of a gap, but I think Bryce Young, and maybe he's been in more situations, I think Bryce Young handles the intangible part of being a quarterback right now better than Caleb Williams.
Okay, I would disagree with that, but that's not a hill that I'd be willing to die on because I think Bryce Young is elite there.
I don't think it's that
late. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, even if it's equal, like you lean Bryce Young, I lean Caleb Williams, even if it's equal, which situation is better for them? Bryce Young as the Texans quarterback with lesser talent in 2023 or Caleb Williams with more talent in 2024? The situation is more ideal for a quarterback in 24 than it is in 23, and that's before you even talk about the coaching element in this. Look, I don't think Lovie Smith will be back. I can't say that with 100% certainty. There is a better chance you have a new coach in 2 years than you do next season, which is also part of the equation here. But if you look at it from the long-term point of view, which, look, the Texans right now, you shouldn't be constructing the team based on a single season. You shouldn't be constructing the team based on what they're going to look like in 2023. We all know, even though the Texans for some reason are like, they bite their tongue when saying this, they'd be better off just saying, yeah, we're in a rebuild and being honest with the fan base and make their job security a little bit better, actually, and make the pressure a little bit better, actually. I think the Texans have done a bad job PR-wise in terms of being, this is a rebuild. Like, trust the process with Sam Hinkie. That should be the Texans' message. But from a long-term point of view, we know it's going to take the Texans a while. Let's say it takes them 3-5 seasons before they reach that postseason again. What is a quicker path to the playoffs? Is it Caleb Williams and then using your first picks this year to either trade down for more assets, trade for future picks in future years, or is it going all in Bryce Young right away? Because I feel where the Texans are, they can't rush the rebuild. They have to be patient with the rebuild. And as we all know, the Texans have so many holes. There are so many areas that the Houston Texans have to pick that Bryce Young isn't stepping in day one and changing the tide of this franchise. But Caleb Williams might, with the more assets you could require by either trading down or kicking the can down the road at the quarterback position.
The idea is terrifying because you don't get to guarantee that you can take Caleb Williams next year. And if you're spending all your resources on other players, I worry that you get too good at everything else to be at the
top. Which you can make the case now. This changes the argument a little bit. Where you're trading down from number one, maybe you're trading down from number one back to the teens, but then you're acquiring a future year pick.
And that, what I was going to say is the one area, I don't think you could ever fully buy me in on it. I think I just want to take Bryce Young, make the safe choice to get your quarterback while you have the pick and move forward. But the one area where I could say, okay, I can buy in on this a little bit is if you can trade back. Because you also have to be prepared.
I think you have to trade back in this scenario.
You have to be prepared.
I agree with that. Because otherwise, it's like the difference between an Anthony Rizzo and a Abreu.
Uh-huh.
But one of them, you've got to give up something to get. The other one, you can just go get.
I want to even go a step further than have to trade back. You have to pick up picks in next year's draft. Because you have to be prepared to offer a kind of deal that a team cannot turn down for Caleb Williams.
That's
true. You have to be ready to trade three even first-round draft picks, and then some to make sure you're getting him.
You can't guarantee the move. You can't guarantee Caleb Williams with your record next year. You have to be able to guarantee it with the assets that you have.
You need to add on to what you also have.
Like I said the other day, you also have to have a willing trade partner as well if you have to trade. And a lot of teams are going to be looking for exactly what you're doing, what you're looking for, and have their eyes on the exact same guy.
Where this could go wrong is if you don't get the number one pick, and whoever has the number one pick, even if you've set yourself up to have the most assets to trade up for the number one pick, just refuses.
Yeah.
That whoever's number one is just like, no, I don't care that you're offering me five draft picks.
Does that set you back in your rebuild?
No, I mean, not necessarily. It just means you have to find another quarterback.
You have to have a plan B. That there's even a better scenario than this year in terms of the quarterbacks available.
Yeah. Like Drake May is a quarterback who's available next year. There's going to be other quarterbacks that are available. You have to have a plan B because you're right.
Right.
It is a little bit risky. Now, I think it is in the best long-term interest of the Houston Texans and a chance to put a quarterback in a better position to succeed if you punt on the quarterback position. The Texans have way too many holes to think that Bryce Young's just going to come in right away and start to fix everything. Wait on the quarterback position. Caleb Williams better. And you also have an opportunity here to fix other holes along the way. 713-780-ESPN. Is that the way to go? 713-780-3776. Get zero dub for Caleb. Also, kind of a radical idea in pairing this as well. An idea that involves Caleb Williams and maybe one of the best innovative minds in football, all coming to the Texans. 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, another word for Doc Linville. Look, I know you hear all of us talking about Doc Linville. The reason why we do is because we've all been through the procedure and we love the results. You will too. If you believe that you're going bald and you're thinning and you don't think there's anything you can do about it but mask it, cover it up, or just shave it all off, there is an alternative for you. And there was an alternative for all of us too. And the fact that it is, which makes it even better, it's your own hair, people. It's not any kind of fool's gold masking the actual problem. It's taking care of it. It's taking your own hair where you're never going to lose it, sides in the back, which genetically, that's a fact. You're never going to lose it. And putting it where you need it most. Some people have that baboon's butt on the back of your head. Some people have a forehead that's turned into an 8-head and you want your hairline back. You can get those results. And they're going to stay. And they're going to be with you for the long haul. The big thing that got me on the Neograft procedure that Doc Linville offers is the fact that 95%+ of the follicles moved, stay, and grow, and are with you for the long haul. That was what put me over the top and said, I got to do this because it is going to be worth it. And it has been. And I think so many other of you that have gone through the process or consider it, seen us gone through it, realize that the effects, the results are there. It can be a positive in a way it affects you. And for listeners of ESPN 97.5, you get a consultation with Doc Linville and his staff that normally costs $150 for absolutely free. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. DocLinville.com. You get a consultation with Doc Linville and his staff. You can ask all the tough questions. You can figure it out from financing to the process itself to when you see the full results to the success rate that I just told you about. And they are going to walk you through. You can see if it's right for you, but you could be the next in line to reap the benefits and get the NeoGraft procedure. I'm telling you, it is amazing, and Doc Linville's the best in the business at doing it, in my opinion. Check him out today, 975hair.com.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I'm saying that the Houston Texans need a punt on the quarterback position for another year. They cannot draft a quarterback at number one in the 2023 NFL draft. They have to wait to 2024. They need to go all in for Caleb Williams. They have too many holes to expect that Bryce Young's going to come in here and walk on Buffalo Bayou and turn this organization into a winning organization. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go there now for Roy. Roy, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Roy?
Hey, man, I'm just trying to figure out, what do y'all think about Stetson Bennett for the Texans?
I think he's a great college quarterback that should stay at Georgia for as long as he possibly can and make more money on NILs, because he'll make more money on NILs than he ever will as a professional quarterback.
Yeah, I think there's a Chase Daniels possibility for him for long-term success as a backup quarterback in the NFL, but he is at his peak in the college game. If he's on the number one team in the country and he's winning national titles, Jeremy's right. The NIL money that he can collect might be life-changing and way more than any opportunity that he could ever make the same kind of money in the NFL.
He's going to turn 26 in like week four next year.
Yeah, he's 5'11", a buck 70.
I was going to say he's Brandon Whedon, but yeah, that might be worse.
No, yeah, Brandon Whedon was a massive guy.
And he played minor league baseball first.
I just meant Brandon Whedon was drafted in the first round at 28, and Stetson Bennett will be 26, like, in October next year, early in the season.
Stetson Bennett's going to be the head coach at Ole Miss in like 10 years and being in this college football playoff.
He's Brom or all the guys that used to be quarterbacks that come back to be coach.
Great college quarterback. I don't want to sell him short, even though he is a short in stature quarterback. But hey, make as much money in NIL as you can. I don't think he has any more eligibility, though. I think this is it for Stetson Bennett. 8105, Caleb Williams should be the quarterback for the Texans. I would put all my eggs in the basket for him. So would I. Do you hear what Sean Payton said about Caleb Williams? Sean Payton said that Caleb Williams is a generational talent that will have teams in the NFL tanking to get him.
Sean Payton knows how to waste a generational talent at QB, doesn't he?
What do you mean? He won a Super Bowl with Drew Brees.
He won one.
He won a Super Bowl with Drew Brees. I do agree with you that
he might have gotten somewhat screwed out of a chance for another one.
Maybe with Deflategate. Yeah. I don't disagree too much with Brendan, though. I just think
he's a funny guy for that quote.
Mike Florio, Jake Asman, they want the Texans to trade a first rounder for Sean Payton. I ain't trading a first round draft pick for Sean Payton.
I agree with that. I've heard them say that before, and you're right. We just never reacted on the show. That's ludicrous.
Yep.
To give up a first round pick for a coach. You are so far behind everyone else in this league that's the last thing you should consider, because we've seen that it's not about coaching at this point. It's about the talent on this roster is hot garbage.
Yep.
But wait a minute. It's not just about Deflategate with the Saints, just to make sure we're clear.
What else were you talking about?
The pass interference on the Rams that they didn't call, where they would have gotten the Super Bowl there.
I mean, calls
the Vikings game and whatever they call that ridiculous ending.
Well, I mean, that was on their own.
Boy.
That was Case Keenum magic. We all know that Case Keenum magic exists. Go Cougs, greatest college quarterback statistically in college football history. But that wasn't a bad call. That wasn't a bad whistle. That was just bad luck.
That was just bad luck. But I'm saying there's a lot of things that team could have been.
That was a road game too. What? That was a road game.
It was
the Minneapolis Miracle.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
Nonetheless, Clarence will give you a lot more examples than that.
Yeah. 5535, Jeremy, how did that can't-lose first-round quarterback work out for the Jaguars so far? Not great for Trevor Lawrence, but you could also make the case that's Bryce Young. Like, if you're pro-Bryce Young because you think he's a can't-lose first-round quarterback, you can't then talk out of the other side of your mouth and then also use the same example for Caleb Williams. If you think Caleb Williams is a can't-miss quarterback, you think Bryce Young's a can't-miss quarterback, okay, I will concede that. You think both of them are going to be very good. You think both of them are going to be great. You know, I understand that you can guarantee selecting Bryce Young where you can't guarantee that with Caleb Williams, although you would have the highest odds to have the number one pick again in the NFL draft. But if Caleb Williams, and I think he is, the better NFL prospect, I think that if you look in the next 10 years for the Houston Texans, they will have more success with Caleb Williams than Bryce Young. If you know that the Texans will have more success over the 10-year period by waiting a year for Caleb Williams as opposed to Bryce Young, why wouldn't you do that? I would say it's idiotic to not do that.
I think it's the only thing that is the variable, the unknown variable of will you be able to get him, right?
I mean, it's a risk. There is some slight risk there.
That's the risk that you have to factor in as well, because instead of controlling your own destiny, there is the uncontrolled variable of you're going to have to embrace the sucking more for another year, because like you just said, there are teams that are thinking about basically tanking to try and get in the mix to get him, and you'd have to go through another year plus. The question that I have for you is, if you're Nick Caserio, and you obviously have to have the job security enough to know that I'm going to probably see the majority, if not all, of my six-year deal through. But if you know that you've put together a plan, are you okay with the fact that, or are you okay as a fan and doing what we do, are you okay with the fact that it doesn't matter how you get there as long as you get there? And what I mean by that is, you don't have to show progress from year to year. You don't have to go from one win to 4 wins to 6 wins.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the year that you project that you should be fighting for a playoff spot and beyond, that's when you get there. Because mm-hmm. that would be the key to being able to put it on pause and go for a Caleb Williams, as opposed to taking what you have to do, the most logical choice, and taking a Bryce.
Yeah. That's why Nick Caserio, I think, is foolish whenever he's scared to admit rebuild. Like, he'll talk out of one side of his mouth and say, well, you got to look at the process more than the results. And then he'll say, I don't like the word rebuild. No, dude, you're in a rebuild. Like, be honest with what you're doing. You're in a rebuild, and you're going to be 3 to 5 years away from being in the postseason, and admit that. Like, be willing to say that. Be the 76ers. In Philadelphia, it became a movement. Like, people were excited about the movement of a rebuild because you were saying, trust the process. Caserio and Lovie Smith, they have, like, these notions of grandeur. We're like, oh, yeah, we're going to try our best to win next week. No, man, just talk about the development of young players.
The difference in Philly for Sam was the fact that he didn't have the guaranteed six-year deal,
right?
Which
it was worse
because they became a movement that became a negative barking, you know, war cry as to we've embraced it and we've gotten behind it and it ain't happening.
Yeah,
and then it became Sam's rear end on a platter. Whereas if you have Caserio and you have 6 years, you say, you know what? It's just like setting you up at the start of the season. It's not about wins and losses. Hey, it's not about going from whatever how many wins we end up this year to getting 5 or 6 next year. It's about when I determined in my plan that we're going to make the playoffs, we're going to make the playoffs. So therefore, I'm going to wait for Caleb Williams. I'm going to get a veteran quarterback, whether it's Baker Mayfield or some guy on the market, or two more versions of Davis Mills.
Case Keenum.
And well, there you go. Whoever the candidates are that you could add just to make sure that you got someone that bridges the gap for you, and you don't care whether you win or lose, you can keep stockpiling draft picks and keep adding the rest of the roster until you go after that guy that you have to have.
Look, that's a sacrifice of this, too. Like, I understand that's a sacrifice and maybe a flaw in this logic where, you know, don't get a dub for Caleb, very few dubs for Caleb, is that you're sacrificing the 2023 season again. 2023 is going to be much like 2022, where your season isn't about the wins. You're going to lose a bunch of games. You're going to be talking about the growth of young players, not are you going to be winning on Sunday. You're going to take a hit in terms of the gate. You're not going to have many people that are showing up. I understand all of that, but in order to do a rebuild right, you have to put yourself in the best chance to have future success. And the best chance for the Texans to have future success is to wait a year on the quarterback. Does it put some risk involved in terms of you're not going to be able to draft Caleb Williams because if you finish with the second pick and number one refuses to trade down? Yeah, there is some fear of that. There is some risk with that. But in order to win big, you got to make big moves. You got to have bravado. This takes bravado, but it also is the best way for the Houston Texans to be good in 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. 6811, Texans need to admit rebuild and pull an Astro. Take every best player available. They need help all around. Trade back, stock up more picks, admit the next 2 years are a rebuild. Could not agree more. This team has so many holes that even if you bring in, even if Bryce Young is great, and I love Bryce Young, this isn't an anti-Bryce Young statement, although there are some questions about Bryce Young. His size, he's small, he's puny, he comes from Alabama, which has a lot of really good football players around him. The best thing that the Texans can do is build up the rest of the roster, wait a year for Caleb, and then draft the better draft prospect.
I do think in a world where you don't have less draft picks, even if you trade back, you stay with the same amount of draft picks this year.
Well, Okay.
You're drafting in twice.
You're
in the
trading
first.
One for 14 in a future first.
Yeah, something like that in that world. I do think you talk about how many holes that the Texans have. I think you'd at least have interesting players in most of them,
no
whether
doubt.
Or not those players like worked out. I think in most starting positions, you would have somebody worth being interested in.
You would have three more starting young players. You would have two picks in the teens. You would have your pick at number 32 right there. Three players that you're already adding to this team. You'd be in a better spot next year, even if you're trading down for future picks. You're still going to be in a better spot next year than you are this year, even if it's not the quarterback.
But as it relates to the quarterback itself, right? You can't. I mean, is it a monumental difference between Bryce Young and Caleb Williams?
I would say yes, but I would concede that even if it's the same, you're setting Caleb Williams for better success right away in 2024 than you would be in 2023 with Bryce Young.
You got to play him right away.
Oh, good. Come on. You're not drafting Bryce Young at number one and sitting him out.
But okay, but for a lot of different reasons, though, it's not unheard of. We've seen guys that got the hell beat out of him like David Carr, and we've also seen guys like Troy Aikman that, like to your point, took their lumps. But
that was a long time ago. It's pretty rare. Like, when was the last time you took a quarterback in the top five?
Not top five, but they took Mahomes.
But they were a good team and had Alex Smith. Like, the Texans are a bad team and have Davis Mills.
But if he's following his plan.
Trey Lance.
It does still happen, but it is definitely
a lot more
rare.
A good team that had a good start, like a solid starter. And the Texans are a bad team without a solid starter.
And I know we got to get out, but the reason why I ask you the question, too, is because you may not. It has to be a very significant difference because you may not end up with, you know, the guaranteed top five guy, but you might get a top five guy because that draft class that we're talking about with Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. And Mitch Trubisky was taken ahead of them.
Sure.
You better believe that the guy you're going to get is going to be a top 10 quarterback. And if they both are, and it's not that big of a difference, then I don't like running the risk of having to consider giving up assets to get the guy that you want next year, as opposed to getting a guy that could get you in the same ballpark.
Now, the Texans are still going to be the favorite to have the worst record in the NFL.
Next year.
Like, they're still going to be the favorite. So, like, I understand that there's risk that they're going to not have the number one pick, but they're also the favorite to have the number one pick. 713-780-ESPN. Texans need a punt on the quarterback position. Would you wait if you knew that you could get the number one next year? If you knew that you could get the number one in 2024, does it change up the conversation for you? Would you wait if you knew you could get number one without a shadow of a doubt? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. 3193. I'm suggesting the Texans wait on quarterback. You're putting the quarterback in a better position to have success by waiting a year. I believe Caleb Williams is better than Bryce Young as an NFL draft prospect. If you're looking at the Texans as a rebuild, which you should be, 5, 7, 10 years, the Texans would have more success waiting a year for Caleb Williams than they would Bryce Young. This team's not going to be competitive next year, even if you get Bryce Young at number one. There are way too many holes. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776, 3193. Branham always asks dumb hypothetical questions that he knows probably won't happen. Look, maybe it doesn't happen, but it should, and the Texans would be failing if they don't wait a year for the quarterback position. He also says, 3193, I'm so tired of y'all's dumb talk about tanking. They're not going to tank. They don't have to tank because
they're not good enough.
Jeremy, Joel, we're done with hypothetical questions. From now on, when we talk about the Texans, I want you breaking down the defensive line and the offensive line battles on every snap.
That happens daily on the highway to hell.
What an unlistenable.
Here's the other thing.
Justin
too.
McCray, Scott Quisenberry, who's a better option for the Texans at center in 2023?
What was the one before that? Because here's the thing. It's not your dumb hypothetical tape things. You know what it does? It freaking creates conversation and discussion, which is our job on a daily basis.
No, I really think they should do this.
And I understand. I'm not creating the conversation. And that's why we had the discussion, which creates conversation, which kept it going.
I actually love this text. They're not going to get Caleb Williams, and you'll need to actually stop talking about the Texans since you're not. I don't understand the last part. Maybe you can
He wants us to break down the game.
I don't think so.
Read just the last line again, please.
They're not going to take Caleb Williams, and you'll need to actually stop talking about the Texans since you're not.
So since we're not talking about the Texans, but we're going to need to stop talking about the Texans, then we should probably talk about the Texans, but not talk about the Texans, if I'm reading that right.
Do you even English?
I guess. I don't know. My English ain't great because I'm ESL.
I don't know
what
the hell you texted.
I'm ESL, but it might be a little bit better.
Here's
than
an
that.
Idea. Draft Grammarly and use it on everything.
4548, yes, God. Wait. Keep getting the cap down and shore up all O-line and D-lines in this year's draft. I agree with that. That was Ball Zach that texted that in. Here's another caveat, too, that Brendan dropped during the commercial. I'm not even sure he's really on my side here, but he says if you do wait until 2024, because look, I think Caleb Williams is a better prospect than Bryce Young. I think you set yourself up better for organizational success long term by waiting a year than doing it immediately. I think doing it immediately is a rash decision because you're lousy and you're trying to please the fan base. And if you're lousy and trying to please the fan base and you're making decisions to please the fan base, then you're not doing what's in the best interest of the organization. But what Brendan talked about was you're delaying the five-year rookie deal. What do we talk about all the time to have success in a salary cap league? You need to maximize the dollar for the value. Teams have had success recently with quarterbacks on their rookie deals. Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Russell Wilson was always a very popular one. Pat Mahomes, Kansas City. The Texans did it a little bit with Deshaun Watson as well. So if you're punting on the rookie quarterback with the five-year contract, you're bringing
it
into like a better team.
It's like not calling up Alex Bregman or George
service
Springer
time.
Type.
Right? Service time.
Service
absolutely.
Time in Major League Baseball.
Absolutely. You're getting the most for a rookie quarterback in a rookie quarterback contract.
Since the quarterback went through the market, maxed out quarterback contracts, the percentage of those quarterbacks getting to a Super Bowl have gone down every year.
Exactly. And secondly, on top of that, you're going to be a better football team in 2024 than 2023. I know the Texans.
You hope they draft right.
Well, you should be by default. The Texans have a worse record this year, but they have more talent than last year's team. Next year, they're going to have more talent than this year's team. So 2 years down the road, you're going to have a more talented roster. You're going to have a rookie contract for the next 5 years as opposed to the next 4 years on top of that as well. So it makes sense from a talent perspective, having talent around the quarterback, and it makes sense from a financial salary cap perspective, waiting for that quarterback. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line for Troy. Troy, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I couldn't agree more, but Jeremy, you just said something kind of goes to my point. You're going to be better next year. So do you really want to bring in a Baker Mayfield-type quarterback that could single-handedly maybe win one or two, three close games, and then you're not embracing the suck enough to get the number one draft pick next year?
See,
I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call, Troy, because you do have to have that conversation with this thought. If you are waiting on quarterback for 2024, you're getting very few dubs for Caleb. You have to have a quarterback. You have to field a position. You have to field a roster. You have to have somebody there. Quite frankly, I think what I would do is I would go a retread that is as young as possible. Is Zach Wilson somebody that can be traded for a fourth-round pick?
I got one for
where
you.
You're trying to strike gold, where you're trying to find fire, or wherever.
I got at least one for
you. Okay.
That's not going to cost you a thing.
Well, Baker's too old if you're going there.
Sam Darnold.
I think he's a little too old, too.
He's
like,
not
I want
that
somebody
old.
Younger. I want somebody. But look, that's in that same theory.
So what you're saying, and then if he could play a little bit at all, then you, I mean, at a certain point,
If
you want him to suck and you want him to be younger, get Sam Darnold. It'll get the fan base off your back because you probably don't have to pay a whole lot to get him and you don't have to give up anything to get him.
Sure.
And then he does exactly what you want him to do if you're going with your hypothetical and setting yourself up for Caleb Williams for the long haul.
Sam Darnold's in that conversation. Like, I would, he's
more
in,
so than
he's
Baker.
Like a bounce back, but we've seen Darnold already bounce back. Like, Darnold's on his second team. I don't want a quarterback on their third team. I don't want a quarterback that's fell two different spots.
You're getting a lot of prerequisites for your bridge guy.
No, I'm not. I think that's
one
prerequisite.
I don't think there's a ton of guys that are what you're describing.
No, I think that there are a few. Zach Wilson, could it be too expensive? Could the Jets not be willing to move on from him? Sure. Trey Lance, if they're like in the market for Tom Brady, could you get him for a third or a fourth? Probably not, but I'm kicking the tires there. What about Jordan Love? They need receiver, Brandon Cooks, Jordan Love. And now we're playing Madden a little bit, which I don't want to do. But a quarterback who would be going to their second team. Now, if you can't find that guy and you're stuck with a Sam Darnold type, whatever. But I don't care. I'm sacrificing the 2023 season, so I really don't care.
I'm just showing this for the overall discussion that we can look at it from both perspectives. It's not an argument, it's a discussion. That's why I think that to look at your side of these things and saying this, if you were willing to go through a full season with Kyle Allen and Davis Mills, it shouldn't be that taxing to be able to say, I can go with one more
with a
Sam Darnold.
It's a great point. You can also save face with the whole PR thing by bringing Lovey back another year. Now, I might have lost you there.
No, but I think that's also a possibility. That it's a real thing that they're thinking about within those four walls.
You cannot afford to take a quarterback in 2023 and keep Lovey Smith. You can afford to keep Lovie Smith if you punt at quarterback.
Because what I've said all along, regardless of which side of this one you're on with me and Jeremy, is the fact that when you get said franchise quarterback, whichever year you choose to get him, you damn well better have your offensive coordinator and head coach for the foreseeable future, not just for a year or two at a time until he either screws up or you grow weary of him and have to move on. This is where, the minute that we talk about when the clock's ticking on contracts, the clock's ticking on his success and the success possibilities if you don't have the right coach and coordinator whenever you draft your franchise quarterback.
2023, no dub for Caleb. I also have a perfect name to pair with Caleb Williams tomorrow, but you have to listen tomorrow. 12 to 3, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. 5188, your logic of waiting another year is just dumb. You guys need to stop using your platform to create all these hypothetical scenarios and stop living in the future and embrace the present. Thank you for listening to our program each and every day, 5188.
By the way, I did realize the first two that we were bashing were the same person.
What is the Texans present? Like, define that for me. The Texans' present is 1-10-1. You just got beat by your former love, and he didn't even play well. They didn't even score an offensive touchdown. You are terrible. You have to look at the future. And the best interest of the future in 2023 is no dub for Caleb. Caleb Williams, future Houston Texans quarterback in 2024. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse, Blankers?
Football.
All right. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.